Good evening, everybody. This is Christopher Buck.
And Leonie Lige.
With Humanity Healing Online University, and we would like to thank you all for joining us this evening to discuss Stellar Code Polaris.
Yes, the Stellar Code Polaris, as we already asserted before, is the last stellar code of the Stellar Code program of self-mastery. And even though we don't have a beginning or a end for the course, you can start any point.
It's the last in the current cycle, and the next cycle will start up with Cyrus next month. But there really isn't a beginning of the end. You can start the Stellar Codes at any point in time, and because each one is a different facet or a different aspect of the developing the characteristics and traits associated with being a fully self-realized spiritual
galactic human. Well, the Stellar Code Polaris basically has the teachings on dealing with a very deep aspect of our personalities. Personalities, and actually is not one, but various personalities. The Stellar Code Polaris has the same tone and characteristics of the Stellar Code Antares, because it's a deep cleansing. It is a process of cleansing. It's a process of purification, and also a very intense process of integration. Despite, the intensity of the Stellar Code Antares, we see in Polaris another element. In Antares, we do, we are guided to, step by step, to cleanse your ancestral line, which is a very important step for anybody intending to trail the path of self-realization, or, the more common and modern way to say, the path of ascension. The Stellar Code Polaris works as your stellar GPS. And why is a stellar GPS? Because the cleansing, the purification that one undergo during the process of initiation in Polaris is referred to the reincarnational egos, the reincarnational selves. It's the debris accumulated during the process of reincarnation. This debris, like past memories, sometimes, most of the time they're negative memories, negative stimuli, or old vows, old contracts, old pledges of allegiances, and, exchange of power. So those are residues that can be reactivated because they are really deeply ingrained in our memory cells. And any process outside of us, sometimes a photography, a person, or a fact very similar, what the situations lived in past lives, can bring the memory back. So those experiences of the reincarnational selves are engraved still in our DNA, and they have to be released, or they have, and it's desirable to be purified and integrated in your entire system of energy in order to you to detach yourself from the wheels of samsara, or what we call basically the process of reincarnation on planet Earth through karma. Now, what is the similarities with Antares? In Antares, we work basically with what you receive from your family line, from your lineage, because it's also, engraved in your DNA passively. And on this process, we work on Antares, and a little bit also in Polaris, we work with dependencies, addictions, and compulsive behaviors and situations that were given by our ancestors. In Polaris, we work, but once that we release the process of ancestors, we move on to our reincarnational selves. So this is entire, I would say, the work base and what Polaris you know, facilitate to you to find the real, your real center, and find or establish your spiritual GPS.
Now, one of the things that, that people wonder or they ask is like, well, why am I worried about what happened to me in a past life? Oftentimes, we find that the negative, some of the negative experiences or the like, don't either they cause enough wound, or and we're not able to assimilate, heal, and release in that lifetime, or it is something that has been left undone, and that we still have not had a chance to fully learn from. But what happens is this will come back and trigger and set off in this lifetime, and people will run into situations that, you know, really weren't in your game plan. You know, it's take a look at, for instance, say a lack of prosperity is a possibility. Because there was a vow or a situation of poverty or celibacy that hadn't been fully resolved, and it's now resurfacing in this one because it's been triggered, and it's you can't shake it, and you know it's wrong because it's you can tell it's not in your current program.
Well, you know, and there's a lot of vows. They're never broken. It has to be, come to awareness in order to be broken. So this is the same thing that happens with certain relationships. And when people actually looking for a partner and they say, why I don't have luck? You know, I'm still waiting for my twin flame or my soulmate, and why I never have luck. Possibly, we see in many cases that this person in another life had a very perfect mate, and at some point of the other relationship, they made it like the eternal promise, you know, of fidelity and loyalty, and say, I am never going to love anybody else but you. And this promise is written. You know, any intention put when it's associated with deep feeling, it works like it was engraved by fire. So it stays there. When a soul come back, those seals that we call those cell seals, they are reactivated. And so now this person is looking for a partner, but is already, you know,
bound to another.
So there are vows, there are dependency, there are still addictions, and there's a series of facts and situations, including prosperity, when he says many of us, they are in a spiritual path nowadays, you know, and inevitably had some other past lives where we were bounded by some type of vow of celibacy or vow of poverty, or being a monk or a priest or a nun, or just you know, a poor monk or a poor guru.
Hermit.
So those are vows of poverty or of detachment with the natural world that comes back to life as we activate again our life purpose, our dharmic line. So this is, you know, again, this is one of the factors that will be worked in depth on the performance of the Stellar Code Polaris.
Now, it is an interesting to conjecture on, and we believe that the origin, this very reason we're talking about, these old vows and the breaking, is the reason why in the modern, or the modern marriage ceremony, it says, till death do us part. Because they're putting the clause in there that this relationship, this marriage, is for this lifetime, not for all lifetimes.
Yeah, but you see, this is a process that it's just a way to try to avoid a future disaster, because in one time, really, a marriage ceremony was guided also by the will of spirit. So it's really, why is there? Nowadays we don't know why is how it works, but it's there for a purpose.
So we've started with a little bit of background of what Stellar Code Polaris is going to be covering. For everybody that's participated with the Stellar Codes before, is we do some extensive or explanation on the mythological and archetypical background. The Stellar Codes is an archetypical journey, and we base ours on a very classic archetypical journey towards ascension, which is the
story of Hercules,
the labors of Hercules, which is our 12 steps. Whereas he, you know, if you're not familiar with it, Hercules was the son of Zeus and a mortal woman. And his life is basically built around coming to terms with the fact that he is not only man, he is also God,
divine.
And as he goes through the 12 labors, he's able to purify, and this is the path of self-realization, till at the end he is allowed and capable of taking his rightful place as a deity. But so we'll get into the particular labor of Hercules in a second. But let's talk a little bit about the stars themselves. And the first star, of course, with each stellar code, we deal with the energies of three different stars. We do this because that's how it's supposed to be done. But it's the stars in this particular stellar code, in stellar code Polaris, we have empowerments from Polaris, of course, and we have empowerment with Capella, and we also have an empowerment with Sirius. And you will notice as you're doing the codes that often different stars will show up as empowerments under another primary star. And that is because when we work with the stars, we're not working with the stellar civilizations that are there. For instance, when we're working
with the Pleiades,
or with Sirius, we're not working with the Syrians or the Pleiadians. What we're working with is much a more of an ancient concept, and that is the energy associated with the sun, the primary star. Of that system. And if you go back and, for instance, if you ever do angelology and you really study the history of angels in the different religions, angels are in many of the cultures and in the most ancient, going back to the Sabian, which is one of the areas that we talk about if you get into the program and really go all out, is each star was associated with an angel. And this is when we started going into talking about stellar cults. We really hate that term stellar cult, but that's how it's referred to archaeologically when you talk about like the Sabians and some of the other groups that are out there that used the stars as a way of connecting to the divine, because they saw the different facets of God. For instance, if you take a look at the four great archangels, and these are primary powers of the universe, they were all associated with a particular star.
Exactly. We call them the mighty archangels, are also known as the four Maharajas, and they guard over the four cardinal points: Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, Archangel Uriel,
and Archangel Gabriel.
Yeah, they are associated what we call, the Persians call, the noble stars.
And
so, Sirius, Antares, Formalaut, and I forgot the other one.
Betelgeuse?
No,
Rigel.
Yeah.
But what we were saying is, for instance, Sirius. Sirius stands on its own as a stellar code. It is also an empowerment in Polaris, because the energies associated through the filter of the primary star are a little bit different accent for them. So they can help us in different ways, and that's what we're dealing with. Think about it as you know, Sirius is its own giant spectrum, and in this particular stellar code, we're working with, you know, red, orange, yellow part of the whole spectrum of Sirius. But anyway, we were starting to talk about and you'll have to excuse us as we do these stellar codes. First of all, there's so much information. We're always thinking, okay, what to tell people, what not to. But also, we can't tell who's there right now until we open it up for questions and answers. So sometimes we end up getting sidetracked.
But what we
were talking about, the stars that are that compose
right.
this
and the first one, of course, being Polaris, and that that star is associated. The North Star is associated with Ursa Minor.
Yes, Ursa Minor and Ursa Major were the biggest constellation that was first recorded in every single ancient civilization. Basically, this time we're going to work with the Ursa Minor, and Ursa Minor has its own set of mythology. It's a very interesting one because it's said that Zeus had fell in love with one of the muses or one of the assistants of the goddess Athena. Was Athena?
Athena.
Yeah, Athena. And Athena wanted, you know, actually she demanded that her assistants were always virgins. But this poor woman, she was seduced by Zeus and got pregnant, and on top of everything, she got expulsed and, you know, persecuted by Zeus' wife and denied by Athena. And one time it said that, you know, Zeus' wife, Hera, tried to kill her, and Zeus, instead of, you know, letting her be killed, transform her to the star and Ursa Minor and her son, and also a star. And they are, you know, the story of Callisto and Arcas, the son and the mother, and the tail, the Ursa always after the tail of a cub. The Ursa Minor is, which we correspond to Arcas, the son of Zeus. But this is one of the legends.
Yeah, a similar legend had the fact that Hera was so enraged that, you know, she was turned into a star, that she went to Zeus's brother Poseidon and made him promise that she would never, the star would never touch the water again. So she would never bathe again in the earthly waters like she did as a nymph on Earth. And that's why, as the North Star, it never touches the horizon.
Yeah, because bathe in earthly waters in this sense means pass through the ritual process of purification. The ocean itself held in ancient times, you know, the category of very deep spiritual purification. So Hera would never allow her to, after being, you know, a consort of Zeus and
becoming
unclean, she would be seen by everyone, but she will never be purified. So this is one of the legends, but the Polaris is one of the most famous stars in the entire sky. It's very famous, anciently famous, because she gives to us, or it gives to us, the sense of north. So it has been used since ancient times by caravans and boats and ships.
Well, the earliest travelers and voyagers, you know, of the seas, all have reference in their histories and in their mythologies to the Polaris under different names, of course.
Yes. So this is one of the stars that really will facilitate, especially the closing of any process in your life that's kind of out of control, that you don't have the energy, the stellar energy, will facilitate you to find a north or a pathway, a safe pathway to go, to find your north, to find your center, to find a way to ground and then grow. You know, is where you find the real grounds that you can take solid leap to another state. Yeah, that's the reason we talk about Polaris being the spiritual GPS. Now, there is another star related to this stellar code, and the star is Capella. Capella is a very interesting star because I don't know if you guys have a familiarity with the writings of Ramatiz, which is also very ancient. It's known that Ramatiz, I don't know how you pronounce it here. I'm pronouncing the way we pronounce in Brazil. Ramatiz was known to be one of the ancient, high priests of Egypt. And some say that he is actually an early incarnation of Lord Khatumi. And in one of his ancient books, he talks about the star Capella, and he affirms that in that time where he lived, most of the human beings here were originated from Capella. In that specific period of time, the human souls that migrated to this planet was originated in Capella. Capella is a very, very particular star because it has to do with guardianship. Capella in itself, it's from the constellation of Auriga, which is
the charioteer.
And the charioteer was put on the sky by Zeus, according to the myth, to accompany the two Ursas, the Ursa Minor and Ursa Major, as guardian, as, you know, the one that will be defending them for any attack. So the energy of Capella is the energy of guardianship, is the energy of development of your, I would say, a process of self-defense, but self-growth. You know, defending or creating an aura of protection as you progress in your spiritual life. It's not only designed to determine this aura of protection on your earthly life, but also in your multidimensional life, because, you know, being a 3G human being is just one aspect of our incredible and unlabeled qualities and abilities that we have. We are, for sure, a multidimensional being. Our nature is holographic, but you know, this is the design of the stellar code Capella. So the empowerment of Capella added to the power of Polaris to give you guidance and to relieve you of all old debris and residues and contracts, addictions, and passive behaviors, including outbreak of anger, uncontrollable jealousy, all those human feelings. Sometimes we have some reactions and said, I didn't know why I say that. I was not even thinking about that. So it's almost like autopilot things. Those that have to be eliminated because those are reactions and they're not even part of this reality anymore, even though they are impressed in our memory cells. So the power of those two stars together can really empower a human being in the process of reintegration of their true nature, but in another base, you know, in a more comfortable base of self-knowledge and liberation and realization. So anyhow, those are the two empowerments. The other one is the connection, basically, with the star Cyrus. The star Cyrus, and we're going to talk about this again when Cyrus starts, but, you know, we have some material written on the website, managedhealing.net. Cyrus in itself, it's an incredible star because it's an open gate to what I call, and you know, and what I say in very little words, the first seed that will awaken the Christ consciousness in the human heart. The Cyrus is the star of the constellation, you know, when Leo actually is two on the Ursa Major, but connected with Ursa Major, but it is you know, amplified and very well seen on the sky during the sign of Leo. So is the star of the heart of the Leo that gets amplified to regulars and everything else. But now, so going back to Cyrus, Cyrus is the gateway to open your consciousness for all, in a very, very amplified way, all the stellar realities in general. Is a star of immortality, is a star that will bring back and will really shake up all the DNA strands that there are, that were designed in your original blueprint. So independently of where we came from this universe, wherever we are, the star seeds, the integration of the stellar codes or the energy of the stellar codes or the empowerment of the stellar codes will facilitate a lot the awakening of certain skills and gifts independently of anything.
Yes.
All right.
It's one little point I'd like to make about Capella real quick. Also, is Capella sometimes is referred to the star of the silver lining. There is a myth associated with Capella that when Zeus was raised, he had a nanny goat that watched over him. And at one particular point in time, as he was, you know, playing or pulling up or depending on the myth, he broke off the horn of the nanny goat, and in remorse, he blessed it so that it became what is known today as a cornucopia or a horn of plenty, and it would be able to materialize all the blessings, whether that was material wealth or spiritual, you know, knowledge or love or any other blessing that the person that had the horn needed. And so Capella is associated with that, and it's one of the facets for creating blessings or to
bring to manifestation goodness, you know, and amplifying gifts, amplifying grace in itself is a bestowal of grace.
And it's a particularly strong star in the sense that you know, when people talk about manifesting things, that a lot of people think about manifesting things for themselves. But one of our greatest gifts that we have is to be able to manifest blessings for others. And when you are doing selfless service and you're manifesting a blessing, something good for somebody else, the energy of this star is particularly potent.
So that's one of the reasons we call the Capella the star of the 11th hour, is the one that will provide you with help, even when you are in the borderline to go crazy. So it
is. As many of us seem to be.
Yeah, well, this is one of the things. But
now, do we want to touch base on Hydra before we get into the Lord and Hydra?
Well, we should talk about basically what is the labor of Hercules that is related to the stellar code Polaris. The labor of Hercules that we see that's related to this is the killing of the Hydra of Lerna.
Yeah, the Lernian Hydra.
Yeah.
it's, you know, if you don't know this story, Hercules was required to go into essentially indentured servitude to a king, Eurystheus. It's all Greek to me. Sorry. But he was forced to do this, and he originally had 10 labors that this king tried to pick things that were either impossible tasks or were meant to embarrass shame Hercules. For instance, the cleaning of the stables was one of his first tasks. And this particular task was considered impossible to do because the Hydra was a creature similar to Cerberus. It wasn't quite, you know, of this world. It was also part of the underworld. And every time you would cut off a head, two would grow back in its place. And when you add to the fact that it was, and it had poisonous breath, and its bite was venomous, and it was just really kind of a very, you know, mean and nasty sort of creature,
what happened is exactly that, the mythological way that you talk about, when you cut one head to come, you know, and to replace it. And it's none, we originally had nine heads, and just one was more immortal. The fun thing is when you start playing with numbers, the nine heads, and every time if you cut all the heads, they will grow twice. So it duplified, you know,
it doubled.
So the interesting thing is, the ancient traditions, or the Tibetan ancient tradition, says that most of our, you know, we suffer directly from, you know, in this life, we may suffer directly the influence of at least 81, you know, from 81 to 108 different reincarnational selves, you know, from 108 last incarnations, from 81, I would just use the way 81, last incarnation, because the Tibetans say 81, but the Buddhists can mention 108. So you have multiples of nine, all of them. So each one of the heads, they were cut off, meaning they were just forgotten, but they were not processed, or they were not integrated. They could bring poison to you this present life, and then double, you know, once that was already lived.
If the problem isn't solved and you leave it undone, it comes back twice as strong.
Exactly. Once you cut it, you meaning that you really didn't integrate, or you didn't purify it. So, you know, the cut, it's I would say, is a metaphorical way to say that you deny, or you try to keep it aside or ignore. So it comes twice as strong. And just one head is immortal, which means also has to do with the fact of the soul is immortal, you know, and this is the one that needs to be maybe dealt directly. So, and when every time you do that, and it comes again, double. What was the big challenge? He found out that the only way to kill the beast in itself, which is, you know, the reminiscence of all his other lives, or our other lives, mythologically speaking, is to cut and cauterize
it.
Which for us, you know, and our present day, it's how it corresponds to the process of purification. Identification, first of all, we identified what is it that needs to be purified and healed. So the cauterizing is the purification, the healing, and the integration with forgiveness, the release of that, and the integration with forgiveness for that experience back to our energetic system, our, you know, our process, our blueprint. This is part of our experience. This is part of what we came to learn and has to be integrated. So this is metaphorically what is the archetypical journey of the Stellar Code Polaris. So I think that's everything in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's pretty much in a nutshell as a general rule of what the Polaris is. The way the process works, if you decide to pursue the Stellar Code program, and we've got different levels of this. We have people that are pursuing the individual Stellar Code Matrix Mastery, and we do have some people that are going to be working towards the teaching mastery of the Stellar Codes. And we have made a commitment. We're only teaching 72 people the teaching mastery, and it'll then be up to them. That means we get to retire at that point. We're going to stop. We'll still teach Stellar Codes, but we're not going to be training any new master teachers. That'll be up to the next generation of Stellar Code masters to do. We'll have made our commitment. So if you're interested in this, it's I would highly recommend joining the university, because we do a substantial discount for people in the university, and the university is, we've really have set up at a very nominal fee.
just to have a slight change of energy there. It's only $10 a month. But to join there and then take advantage of the discount, because it is substantial. So what I'm going to do now, unless you can think of something else you want to hit real quick on Polaris, Leonie, then I'm going to open this up to questions and answers.
No, I think it's better to start a question and answers, because if it is something else, we always have a directed way to assess the questions.
Now, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be hitting *7, which will open it up to question and answers. If you do not wish to speak, if you would mute yourself by hitting *6, that will make your phone mute. So if you're in an environment with a lot of background noise, the rest of us won't hear that. So be patient with me a second. Let's see if I can get this done.